Today is Saturday, August 28th. Women and girls in Afghanistan face an uncertain future now that the Taliban controls the country. A generation of women have been able to work and go to school, something they were not able to do the last time the Taliban were in power. The Taliban have promised to be more moderate this time around, but this week, Taliban leaders told women and girls to stay inside for now because they say the group's soldiers haven't been trained on how to respect women. Guidance like that has many women worried about what their lives will look like, especially if the U.S. and news organizations leave and the world pays less attention. We're talking about this today with women's rights expert and executive director of the Arab Institute for Women, Lina Abu-Rafi. She spent 2 decades as a humanitarian worker overseas, including 4 years in Afghanistan. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Lina. Thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You've been working to advance the rights of women in Afghanistan since 1996, when the Taliban were in power the first time. So what was it like for women then?
I was working on women's rights in 1996 when the Taliban took over Kabul, and we started to hear about what was happening with the violations of Afghan women's rights. And Afghan women themselves actually were the ones who alerted us to the situation, smuggling cameras under their burqas to be able to film forms of violence, the beheadings in the stadium, and all of the things that were quite gruesome, actually, that we were able to hear about. But the conditions for Afghan women have always been difficult, but fluctuating according to who is in power and what views they hold and what interpretations of Islamic law they espouse. So in a place like Kabul, for instance, in the 1970s, women were in miniskirts and going to university, and it was quite liberal compared to the rest of the country that is very rural and much more conservative. But in the 80s and again in the 90s, Soviet occupation, ethnic warfare, and then the occupation by the Taliban, women were stripped of virtually all their rights and rendered practically invisible, relegated to the home, denied access to school and work and all of the different forms of violence that we've heard about.
Yeah, so paint us a little bit of a picture of what it was like for an Afghan woman when the Taliban was in power last time.
They were forced to stay home, forced to cover up. The burqa was always a garment that was used in Afghanistan, but mandating it by law was a very different kind of thing. Girls were forbidden from school. Afghan women were running underground networks to educate girls because otherwise there'd be no opportunity for them to have any education at all. Anything that rendered women visible in public space, being in markets, being in workplaces, being in public office, certainly, all of those things were denied to them. So they were really forced to stay home, to cover up, to not go anywhere at all, with all of their rights stripped. So it was a next to impossible situation. It was a prison. It took women a very long time to be able to recover from all of those losses, loss of opportunity and access and choice and voice and resources. I think in the last 2 decades, improvements were made, not enough improvements, but improvements nonetheless. And now we risk losing all of that yet again.
Yeah, let's talk about what progress has and has not been made over the last 20 years in Afghanistan for women.
Girls entered school. Women served as civil servants. Women are in parliament. 28% of the parliament is women in Afghanistan. That's higher than the U.S. Women were working in also in non-traditional sectors as well, in the army, in the police, in the medical field, in the legal field, in the media, even in public on TV. Granted, that wasn't true all across the country. And these kinds of things take a very long time, but things were working. Reforms were taking hold. And all of that is going to be lost now that the Taliban have taken over the country yet again. The older generation of women might be better prepared to be able to drive their work underground because they are very resilient. These are the women who know what to do, know how to run the underground schools and systems and support networks. But young women who were born into freedom, girls who are in school, girls who are used to riding their bikes out on the street, play sports, who are planning to be doctors or travel or to study abroad, all of those opportunities will be lost.
What do you think those younger women who were born into freedom are feeling and experiencing right now?
First of all, it feels like everybody's in a holding pattern. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of insecurity. The Taliban have not yet issued kind of official edicts about what they will and won't allow, but they have said that that is going to be in line with Islamic law. But their interpretation of Islamic law is very conservative. The way that they interpret these things plays out on women's bodies, women's rights, women's lives, essentially curtailing their freedom. So these young girls have to understand and negotiate an entirely new Afghanistan, one that they did not know before. All of the things that they were born into, the rights to which they are fundamentally entitled, are now being stripped. Even though what we're hearing is the Taliban is trying to rebrand as moderate, as modernized, people are still afraid and insecure and staying home and staying off the streets and out of schools and workplaces. And that is understandable because there is precedence for this fear. The way the situation is unraveling as quickly as it is, people are right to be afraid.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Taliban leaders have said women can keep working and have more rights than they allowed back in the late 90s, as long as they still follow Islamic law. And obviously, there's different interpretations of that. What do you think their promises actually mean?
We're afraid that it is going to look very much like the Taliban of 1996, because that is their interpretation of Islamic law. That is what they believe to be correct. Any access to any public space at all, education and any public life, is going to be denied. But it remains to be seen. I mean, the way that they have taken over so quickly and people's desperation to get out of the country, I think, does not at all bode well for how things are going to go for women and girls in Afghanistan. They are fearful, as am I.
Coming up, Lena shares what she's hearing from women on the ground in Afghanistan. She'll also tell us how social media could be a game changer as women fight back against the Taliban, and what the rest of us can do to support Afghan women moving forward. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Policy Genius. Our new baby boy, Dax, relies on us for all kinds of support, including, of course, financial support. So that has me thinking more than ever about life insurance. You probably know that if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child, aging parent, or even a business partner, having life insurance to make sure they're taken care of after your death is important. But I also don't want to spend more than I have to on a plan. Well, with Policy Genius, you can compare quotes from more than a dozen top insurers in one convenient place. And comparing can go a long way. You can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And you could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare those policies. In just minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and then find your best price. And get this, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. So head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. That's policygenius.com. This episode is also brought to you by KiwiCo. So I know I'm the parent and not the child, but I thought it was so fun to get a box from KiwiCo. So I can only imagine how exciting this is for kids. Of course, we get the KiwiCo crate for newborns, which has a bunch of great supplies to help educate and entertain our baby boy, Dax. Now, if you're not familiar, KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects designed to expose kids to concepts in STEAM, which means science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Their mission is to build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills, all while making sure your children have a blast all along the way. Each box is delivered monthly and comes with everything you need for that month's project. So it might be the easiest screen-free entertainment you give your kid all month. And there's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Plus, right now, you can get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/newsworthy. Again, get your first month free when you sign up at KiwiCo, K-I-W-I-C-O, kiwico.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Lena Abarafi. Have you heard directly from anyone there on the ground? What have you been hearing from people who are in Afghanistan right now?
So what I'm hearing from Afghan women on the ground is they are upset, they feel let down, they are angry, but they are also gearing up to fight, and they will fight as they have done before. I wish it didn't have to come to this. You know, we keep talking about the resilience of Afghan women, but resilience is only when you're put to the test. What we really should have is full rights and fundamental freedoms like everybody else. And that is precisely what Afghan women deserve.
What does that mean that Afghan women plan to fight? What will some of them be doing to try to keep some of those rights, go to work, go to school, that sort of thing?
Well, there have been some women out protesting. I mean, it's quite dangerous to do so. There have been some courageous few that have protested. They will continue to find ways to fight. The thing is that they now can galvanize social media and international attention. They can raise funds. They can attract international media. They can continue to broadcast the abuses of the Taliban, if it comes to that, in a way that is much more powerful than it was 20 years ago. So you can imagine in 1996 what it meant to be able to smuggle cameras and get those videos out. And now that is done in an instant. Everybody will know exactly what is happening. And they will find ways to build networks underground, to support themselves, to support their families, to ensure that their girls are educated, to try to get them out. So they will do all of these things again and again and again. But I just wish they didn't have to. And I think it's really our responsibility at this stage to step up and to support them in the ways that they ask for. They will be very clear, and they have been all along, in their demands and their needs. And I think it's time for the international community and people who care about women's rights and people who care about Afghanistan to provide exactly the kind of support that Afghan women and Afghan feminists are asking for at this stage.
Are you worried that the U.S. and the international community will stop paying as close of attention as we have these last couple of weeks?
Absolutely. Our attention is always very short. Our support is short-sighted. It's difficult for Afghan women leaders to get the kind of funding that they need to do the work that they know needs doing. For them, it's extremely frustrating. And yes, they risk being forgotten. After a while, the world will grow weary, will focus on something else. There are a lot of conflicting issues. It's the tyranny of the urgent. So we'll start focusing on other countries, other problems, or we'll shift our focus internally. We're still dealing with so many things, COVID and other issues globally, that I think people are worn out. And that is very dangerous, because these are not quick fix issues. These are long-term problems that require long-term commitments, and we'll only find solutions if we really step up.
What do you think are some of the most common misconceptions about Afghan women?
Oh, that they're oppressed, that they are not able to articulate their needs, that they're victims. And I think that is very dangerous. Afghan women have proven over and over again that they are strong, that they are, again, resilient, precisely because they have to be. It's just that we keep abandoning them, and they have to find ways to get things done using very little resources and left to their own devices. And I wish that wasn't the case. And they're able to negotiate their rights within the sociocultural context in ways that suit them. And I think that's what's most important.
For anyone listening who does want to help, what do you recommend? What's the first step to try to help?
Look at the organizations that are local women's groups that are on the ground, that are building their arsenal, preparing for what this fight will entail. Look at the women who need to get out of the country and support them. Find ways to do that. Find ways to support the refugees who are coming into these countries, this one and others, to be able to provide them with the kind of lives and opportunities that they deserve. And I continue to post and tweet and share information about organizations to support, who is doing good work. It will take all of us, and it will take a long time, but I think we all need to step up and do it.
Thanks again to Lena Abarafi for sharing her expertise. For more information on her work and to follow her updates on social media, you can check out the links in our episode notes. And of course, we'll continue to bring you the latest updates on Afghanistan and all the rest of the day's news in our 10-minute daily roundups every Monday through Friday. For now, have a great weekend.